Amid a bunch of other fiscal deadlines in the next few weeks, Congress is expected to take up an emergency spending package for aid to Ukraine and Israel, also to spend some money on the southern border. The price tag of that package, we're told, is about $95 billion, but my guest today will tell you the actual price tag is quite a bit higher. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is Romina Baccia. She is the director of the Federal Budget and Entitlement Policy for the Cato Institute, and she's also the co-author of a new Substack account, The Debt Dispatch is the name of that one, where she covers periodically important issues dealing with federal deficit spending, federal budget, all of that. Her latest piece there is the one that I want to highlight today. It's about emergency spending and specifically about this $95 billion package that Congress is set to consider this week. Romina, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Aside from all of the budget issues that are circulating in Washington right now, there's also this emergency spending package that includes, you know, money for Ukraine, money for Israel, money for the border, a whole bunch of supposed emergency spending here. And you've written a great piece at the Debt Dispatch this week looking at that and looking at the true cost of it. Now, the Senate says that that foreign aid bill, this emergency spending bill, is going to cost $95 billion. But take us through why that's not really fully capturing the actual price tag here.
Yeah, you see, Eric, this additional $95 billion comes on top of what's already projected to be a roughly $2 trillion deficit for this year. And so we can therefore assume that every single penny of that $95 billion, if this goes through Congress, will add to the deficit. And with the deficit come additional interest costs. And that's where the discrepancy is that the way that Congress reports out the cost of this foreign aid bill is that they pretend like interest is not an issue, but it is. And so thankfully, the Congressional Budget Office has put out a handy tool that all of your listeners can play with. It's very simple to use. It's just an Excel spreadsheet. You plug in some numbers and say, okay, if Congress increases spending by $95 billion, what is the associated interest cost of that over the next 10 years? So that's all we did. We just plugged in that number and we got $41 billion. So that means that a bill that's advertised as costing $95 billion is going to clock in much closer to $136 billion over the next decade.
And I just want to be clear about this. That's because we're borrowing every single dollar that we're spending in that emergency spending package, right? I mean, if it were paid for out of tax revenues, if there was no borrowing happening, then it would be at least close to that $95 billion total. It's just because we're borrowing all the money.
That's right. And we're borrowing all the money because this is outside the budget. It's not included in the budget, and we're already spending almost $2 trillion in excess of what Congress will collect in tax revenues. So yes, every single dollar of any additional spending is going to add to the deficit and therefore come with that interest price tag.
I think it's a great point. I think this is really underappreciated. And in fact, this whole discussion about emergency spending is something that's really underappreciated, but something that you, Romina, have really put a focus on at the Debt Dispatch and in your work at Cato. And I think that's fantastic. In fact, you've recently written a paper that looked at some of the sort of totaling up over the last few decades the amount of emergency spending. And it's a staggering figure. And it just doesn't honestly get talked about as much as it should.
It is truly staggering. It's about $12 trillion, which if you look at the total publicly held debt, what Congress has borrowed from credit markets, which is around $27 trillion, it's over 40% of all borrowing over the past 30 years just in the form of emergency spending. And what's deeply troubling is that the Congressional Budget Office and the Government Accountability Office, they don't really report on emergency spending in the aggregate. What we had to do, in particular, my research associate Dominic Lett, is go line by line through all the supplemental spending that Congress did over the past 30 years and labeled it as for emergencies, which, by the way, there is not like a clear rule that Congress follows consistently about what emergency, what should qualify as emergency spending. It has become a very convenient label to basically get around budget constraints. When Congress adopts, say, a top-level spending limit for how much they can appropriate in any given year for defense and non-defense programs, if they call something emergency spending, it means they get to spend that on top of that amount that they agreed to. It's always extra spending. And so it's not even clear that all of that $12 trillion was indeed responding to actual emergencies, we've seen increasing reliance on this label of emergency spending to get around budget constraints, to get around spending limits. And that's the other aspect that's troubling. And so we're really trying to build some more awareness that emergency spending is not just this one-off time-limited expenditure that happens every once in a while, but it's actually become a key part of the federal budget, and we need to pay more attention to it and rein it in because it is actually a major contributor to our deficits and debt. Just want to reiterate, more than 40% of our publicly held debt can be attributed directly to emergency spending just over the past 30 years.
Yeah, we've actually got a piece in the latest issue of Reason Magazine that looks at some of that, pulls some of the numbers from your report. I mean, it really blew my mind when we were going through that, something like $500 million in supposedly emergency spending just to cover fuel costs for military vehicles. Like that seems like something you should budget for. You got to put gas in the military's trucks, right, if you want them to run. Fascinating stuff here, Romina. We are unfortunately out of time for today, but really interesting stuff here and something that I think just doesn't get enough discussion in Washington, which is looking at the true cost of emergency spending and maybe even more important than that, to your last point there, looking at whether these things are even emergencies in the first place. Like that word means something different, I think, most people than what it means to the policymakers in D.C. Thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And again, that's Romina Baccia. She is the director of the Federal Budget and Entitlement Policy for the Cato Institute, and also the author of that Substack that I mentioned. The Debt Dispatch is the name of it. Find that at substack.com. Fantastic stuff from Romina. I'm Eric Boehm. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.